Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy, say worthy, of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is going to hurt. I'm going to read it anyway. Being fruitful in every good work. I might need to cover that one before we finish the rest of that. I'm going to break this down to where we all get a hold of it. If what you're doing in your life isn't something that someone else can get strength from, then it's not the way God wants you to do it. I'm talking about you can open the door for somebody, but if you're just doing it out of obligation and not because you want to show courtesy, then that person can't get any benefit of your deed. If I'm up here preaching just because if nobody else does, then I'm going to have to. If I'm just up here to do it because I'm obligated, then nobody's going to reap anything out of what I'm saying right now. And if you stand up to sing and you just pull one and just start singing it just because you feel like we need to, then nobody's going to reap of something that you're not doing from your heart. There is a place in God we must walk in that in everything that you do, even just shaking somebody's hand, that it's out of love. That it goes beyond courtesy and honor, because that's only man-made. Goes beyond that so that people can see God in you through the good deeds that you do. And increasing in the knowledge of God, finishing that verse. If you can just get through this thing one time, this problem, this trial, if you can get through it just once, there's something that's going to transpire within you. You're going to learn what it takes to get through it. You'll understand what you've got to do to get strengthened enough that when it happens again, that you'll be ready. I'm here to tell you that you'll get victory over somebody talking about you, but that's not going to shut them up. And you'll get victory over people using you at your job, but they're not going to stop using you. And you can come in and serve God and give and give and give till you've got nothing left in the barrel. And even when people still expect it from you, you're going to have to learn that you're going to have to give it anyway. God doesn't let us go through anything unless it serves the purpose of learning something from it. If you drive 100 miles an hour in a curve that's meant for 30, and you wreck on that curve, chances are by the time you got out of the car, if you even live to tell it, you're not going to go around another curve like that doing 100. Yet we live our lives with reckless abandon in the same manner. We'll hit the same curves and expect us just to gas on through it, try to get through it quick, and never learn anything. Then the next time that we try to do the same thing we did before, and that's talking about falling back on our previous comforts. I'm talking about, I've known people I talked to one guy, and we were both churchgoers, and he had quit smoking for 20 years. And something happened that was about as much as he could take, and he picked up smoking again. And I tried for the life of me to say to myself, what could possess somebody to pick something up that they know is hurting them? Yeah. But then God revealed to me the answer. We fall back on comforts that once helped us. Bad attitudes are a comfort. If you just get mad enough and roar loud enough, people will get away from you. Growl enough, snarl enough, be short with people enough, they'll get away. But you're still going to have that inside. And you're going to have to deal with it sometime. Is this good tonight? Amen. If you don't learn to walk in these things in forward, constant motion, then we will be susceptible to the devil as like the world. Because to not walk in the likeness of Christ means we're walking in the likeness of the world, serving the master that only brings our destruction rather than serving the master that brings the newness of life. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, shout yes. If you are saved by his blood, you know that you have a propitiation for everything that you went through, everything that you're going to do, and everything that's ahead of you. Everything in your life you've been redeemed for, and by his grace you walk today. So why are we carrying this stuff? That's where my question is to you. Ephesians 5:15. And we're going to stay in the fifth chapter for the last two. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I have to admit that more often than not, I've been a fool in stuff. I've been a fool in my marriage. I've been a fool just as a family member. I've been a fool in my church. I have let the devil cause me to do things that made me a fool. And when we make those mistakes, we don't learn anything. We only live with regrets of why it ever happened at all. I live with a lot of regret in my life. I regret all the times that I partied. I regret all the times that I said foul words. I regret every time that I have ever deprecated this body with poisons and or negativity and or wickedness. But if I'd never learned from it, I'd still be a fool. There are a lot of foolish people. I mean, I was talking about it to my wife. The number one show on television right now is about a group of walking zombies that people are slaying with weaponry and what have you. Awfulest gum I've ever seen in my life. Number one show on television. The world has got to a place where the wickedness that used to appease them no longer has its savor, nor its pleasure. And the things that people are doing are reaching a I don't even like to say it like this, a higher height of wickedness. It's getting up so high to where it's even seeping into the minds of Christians, drawing them away to make and do things that they should never be doing. And to give in to things that you know better than to do makes you a fool. So now I'll ask you, how many of us have been a fool before? With that said, we should never come in so proud and pretty that we're above serving God in praises, serving God in the fullness of His Spirit, because we're all fools in here. Our best righteousness and right way of living is like a filthy rag. There's no way to clean it. There's nothing you can justify that would make you as holy as the God we serve in heaven. So when you're giving in to the world's appeal, there's no better way to say it than you're acting a fool because you know better. How many of you grew up hearing your parents say, you know better than that? And how many of you, even after you heard them say that, when you did it again, you heard their voice in your head? You know better than that. That's what the Spirit, if we are in tune with it, will do for you every single day. When the enemy tries to come, it will quicken your mortal body and speak to you, even as an audible voice if it has to, even through animals, even through circumstance, to get a hold of your attention that you not take another step in the wrong direction. To say that you've went astray means that you've walked in the wrong direction. We have a lot of Christians that are astray today. We have a lot that are attending church regularly that are still astray, that are not turning their life around. And you know that people are not living in the fullness of God. And this is going to be heavy, but you better take it. I had to. Is that if we're not in the full demonstration of His Spirit, then we're walking astray from where God wants us to be. When I said that to myself, I almost felt like I threw a weight on my back, thinking, man, how many times have I failed God when I knew better, when I had learned from it, when people had taught me otherwise, when His Spirit had spoke to me, but I saw something. Every time that I would fail, I wasn't walking in it, and I wasn't applying it every single day. You can't be a weekend Christian and live in this world. You can't be a one-day Sunday Christian and expect everything to work for your good. It bothers me that people quote the verse, everything will work for the good, that people that will serve God, but that's not talking about one day a week. And that's not talking about Easter and Christmas plays. That's not just talking about never knowing God, but saying you believe in God. That's talking about having the real thing in you. And everything that tries to work against you through the power of God will be a strength to you. And while it's good to see things naturally in the Scriptures, and I'm for that, you have to understand that nothing can work for your good until you let it minister to your spirit first. Because He might want to minister and help you right now in something you'll walk in for 20 years. Even Paul had something that he couldn't shake. Begged that God would help him with the thorn in his flesh. We all have one. We all have one. And if we sit still long enough, and that's the thing, even in hospitals, you don't want somebody to lay in a hospital bed and just lay still. Anybody that works in the medical field can tell you this. Don't take me. I have no MD. I have no knowledge. I might know Wikipedia. If I Googled it, I'd understand. But I've seen it with my own eyes that if you let somebody lay in the bed without turning them, without helping them move around, they get worse even when you're trying to give them medicine. because the body was not meant to lay still. It was not meant to stay in a stationary position. The body was created with a beating heart and life within you, that if at any point you decided to get up, that it would follow the command of the brain. And that is why God had this walk of life with him as something in forward motion. I'll ask it again as we're going forward. So what is it that you're walking with that's keeping you? Chances are I'm asking it now and you already know. So let's not sit here and search for something more. Usually the first thing that's on your mind when somebody asks you the question, what's bothering you, is the very thing that God wants to work with you in, wants to minister to your heart and give you peace over your mind. He comes quickly. Somebody say quickly. He comes quickly. Just as soon as you will turn your mind to him, he will draw nigh to you. That's what it says. If you'll draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. It's just that quick. When you need God to help you, when you're walking in something, as soon as you will begin to pray, God hears you. As soon as you begin to cry, he receives your tears. He said he has your tears in a bottle. That's a figurative statement, but he knows every single time that you're in a state of sorrow and grieving. He knows when it's more than you can bear. He understands when you need everybody just to get away and let God minister to you. He understands all these circumstances, but he didn't mean for us to lay still. Anybody that is in a hospital bed that has to stay there for care continually, somebody's got to work to get things moving, because you've got to keep a muscular tone enough to where when you decide to get it moving on your own, that you'll be able to move it. And that's what preaching is. I'm getting a hold of that leg that you refuse to get up, and I'm trying to get you back into some spiritual therapy that you'll get that thing moving again, that when God speaks to you, you'll be ready to move. God will never leave you in a place where if he told you to do something, you wouldn't be prepared. But if you're never letting God prepare you, he'll never send you anything to do. Ephesians 5, same chapter. I'm going to go back to verse 2. Hear this verse. And walk in love. Say love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. How is a death as a sweet-smelling savor? Well, if we were talking about it in the natural, we would know that as bodies decompose, they stink. So we know that this isn't in reference just to the natural body. But a sweet-smelling savor upon something is when it was given the ointments to preserve it. Jesus' death was that ointment. His blood was that preservation over this natural body, that it would keep us all through our lives and even to a life eternal in heaven. How many of you believe that? Let's read it, verse 8. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Say light. To have light upon something produces clarity. To have a light shown on something helps you to see it better. To have someone turn the lights off leaves you without clarity. If I turn these off and I move around, you may not know where I am, but how many of you know that if you hear the voice, that you know I'm still here? Just the same manner, if you're walking in something that you have no clarity over and you don't understand everything that's going on in your life, there's still a voice that you can follow. And there's still a Savior that has redeemed you. And if you follow God, you'll know his voice. And when the enemy tries to come and lead you another way, you will choose not to follow that way. What are we walking in tonight? Chances are, I know that all of us have something we can improve in. So I'm going to do something different. I'm not just going to give an altar call for one or two, but I'm going to open this altar up for everyone in this church. I want you to stand with us. This is something that everybody needs to grow in together. And what we're going to do, we're going to open up as they begin to sing in a word of prayer. And what I want you to pray for is whatever you need to get strength in, that you can walk greater in God. And as you're praying, if you feel a great burden upon you and you want someone to help pray with you, the altar is open that you could come. I want you to get your mind focused. Ask yourself, is there things that I can do better? Are there things, God, you've spoke to me about that I can change? Are there things that are making me heavy that I'm not able to walk in God continually? wherever this applies and whomever this speaks to, I know conviction it is in this place. And we'll go ahead and start praying together. Pray with me. And if God leads you to this altar, then I want you to come. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you have sent this word for your people tonight. And God, we want to walk in the light, in the love, in the fullness of your spirit, in the newness of life. And Lord, we're tired of walking burdened. We're tired of walking downcast. We're tired of walking defeated. We're tired of walking with sickness. We're tired of walking in the severity of our trials and problems. And God, right now as we pray, come on, everybody from the front to the back, open up your lips and say something to God. He wants to hear you pray. He wants to hear the words of the children in his place. Father, right now I believe that as we open up our lips and speak our honest hearts unto you, that by your conviction and spirit, we believe by faith tonight that you are ministering to us and showing us all what we can do, that we can grow in you and have a deeper walk with you, God. And I pray, Lord, that those that are ready to take that next step, ready to propel in forward motion, that you'll be with them and you help them and give them strength. And I rebuke the hand of the devourer and I take authority over it right now. And I believe with all that is in me by faith that those that will believe and will endure some suffering will walk into a greater victory and blessings. Now as they sing and while we're praying, if you are in need, this altar is open for you. Do not be ashamed. It's time for change. I would applaud anyone that would be bold enough to step out and say, I'm ready for something new.